Hare Krishna. So this is the verse from the Mahabharata, one of the first verses. We see that Srila Rupa Goswami and also Srila Kaviraj Goswami explains in the beginning of their compilation that every book contains three things in the beginning. It has Mangalacharan, invoking auspiciousness, and then it also talks about Vastu Nirdesh, declaration of the purpose of writing a book. And thirdly, Kaviraj Goswami explains, it also gives benediction. The author gives benediction to his readers. So in the Mahabharata, very interestingly, Vyasadev, he explains what is the purpose of writing this book. And this is the verse, Bhagavan Vasudevascha Kirtitetra Sanatana Sahi Satyamrita Chaiva Pavitram Punyamevacha. He says the sole purpose of writing this Mahabharata is to glorify Lord Krishna, the Absolute Truth, a resting place of all piety, and one who is completely pure. Of course, we know that even though that was the purpose of Vyasadeva to write Mahabharata, but some other he could not maintain the purpose of the book. And therefore, unfortunately, in India especially, rather than glorifying Krishna by reading Mahabharata, most people, they criticize the character of the Lord and his devotees. We discussed this in Soho Street, that many books have been written in India. You'll find more books. I remember when I was in the fourth standard, we had a story. The story of Ekalavya. And by reading that story, the conclusion was that he is great and Arjuna is a villain. And there was another story in the 8th class glorifying Karna. And then in the 9th standard, we had a story where it was glorifying Duryodhana. This is in India. In fact, the story was talking how Duryodhana, when Ashwatthama killed the sons of the Pandavas, he was lamenting. He was cursing Ashwatthama. Even though Mahabharata doesn't mention about this. So therefore, from early childhood, those who have the background of studying Mahabharata or Ramayana, their conclusion is not according to what Vyasadeva wanted to present. So therefore, from my childhood, I had this desire to know what is the real truth. And after reading Srila Prabhupada's books, you can understand very clearly who is Krishna, who are the Pandavas, who are the Kauravas. And then Vyasadeva also, in the same book, he explains, he gives a very beautiful example. He says, Yudhishthira Druma Mayo Mahadruma. He said, Yudhishthira Maharaj is a tree. Big tree, Mahadruma. And then, Skanda Arjuna. And Arjuna is the trunk of the tree. Bhishma Senasya Sakaha. And Bhishma Sen or Bhima is the branch of the tree. And the sons of the Madri, Madri Sutasya Pushpaphale Samriddhi. He said, Nakula and Sahadev, they are the flourishing flowers of the tree. And who is the root of the tree? Krishna Brahma Brahmanascha. That Krishna, the Brahmanas, and the scriptures are the root of that tree. Makes it very clear. And then Vyasadeva also explains, Duryodhanasya Mahamayodrumaha. Even Duryodhan is the big tree. And who is the trunk of that tree? Karna is the trunk of that tree. And Shakuni is the branch of that tree. And Dushyasan and other brothers of the Kauravas are the ripened fruit of that tree. And who is the root of that tree? Vyasadeva very clearly mentions, the ignorant Dhritarashtra is the root of that tree. So from very beginning, even though it is mentioned very clearly, the purpose of the book is to glorify Krishna and his devotees. But you don't find that. Therefore, Vyasa explains in the beginning of this book, he says, austerity is very good. Austerity is purifying. And engaging in one's occupational duty is also very purifying. And reading of the scriptures, he said, that is also very good. And then, when we work hard, the fruit of our labor, that is also very purifying. But then he warns, but when these activities are performed with the wrong intention, then what does it do? It creates sinfulness. Pradyumna Prabhu, our scholar Pradyumna Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada's Pradyumna Prabhu, he was mentioning one story. He said one time, he was reading this Hari Bhakti Vilas. He would always carry that book and read. And Srila Prabhupada saw him reading that book. And he asked him, what are you reading? He said, Prabhupada, I am reading Hari Bhakti Vilas. Now what is Hari Bhakti Vilas? Hari Bhakti Vilas is a book talks about the Vaishnava behavior. What Vaishnava is supposed to do. Written by Sanatana Goswami, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. When Pradyumna Prabhu told him that I am reading Hari Bhakti Vilas, Prabhupada said, by reading that book, you will simply go to hell. And he was shocked. He said, I am reading the books of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Why does Prabhupada say that? And then Prabhupada explained, when you read this book, and because there are so many rules and regulations in that book, and you will start following those rules and regulations, and you will start thinking you are superior, and when you start thinking you are superior, you will minimize other devotees, and because of that superiority complex, you will go to hell. So therefore, reading the books, and because whatever we read, unfortunately, we see through our gunic mind, the mind which is influenced by the modes of nature, rajogun, sattvogun and tamogun. And therefore, even the Vyasadeva compiled with the sole purpose of glorifying Krishna and his devotees, unfortunately, there is a prominence of dharma, artha, kama, moksha. You will find in the Mahabharata, most of the time, it talks about ultimate destination as heaven. Very rarely, as far as my reading goes, as I am trying to read it to do some, you know, we are planning to present the theme of culture according to Mahabharata. There is only one story which talks about Vaikuntha beyond the heavens. Otherwise, most of the time, Mahabharata talks about going to the heavenly planets, acting morally, never speaking lies, always maintaining one's friendship. So therefore, even though it was the sole purpose, still Vyasadeva made that mistake. Of course, not the mistake because he had to bring out the Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, it is explained that Vyasadeva was writing this book, or he was writing all the Vedic literature with the sole purpose of benefiting the living entities of this age of Kali. And if he presents the hardcore philosophy, then not many people will understand. So he had this, you know, dichotomy, this contradiction, what to do. If I present the hardcore philosophy, I will maintain the standard, but not everyone will accept it, because not everyone will understand. But then if I compromise, then the principles will be lost. So Vedanta Sutra is so difficult to understand. Hardly anyone can understand. Therefore, it is not meant for everybody. And the literatures like Mahabharata, even though it is meant for everyone, but the essential principles are lost. Rather than worshipping Krishna, rather than glorifying Krishna and his devotees, it is seen that one glorifies the villain. In fact, there are many websites in India. Their whole purpose, their sole purpose is to criticize the character of the Supreme Lord and his devotees. I always mention this. When we used to distribute books, I used to travel in the bus party, and we used to go to different companies. In India, you take permission from the companies and there are 5,000-6,000 workers. And you just put your stall in the canteen where they take their lunch, dinner, breakfast. And hundreds of people come. And they would not ask for Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. They would ask for one book called Mrityunjaya. He said, do you have Mrityunjaya? Now this Mrityunjaya is a very famous book written in the local language in Maharashtra, maybe about 40 years back. And those who had some inclination about reading Mahabharata or Ramayana, rather than reading the original books, they would read this book. And after reading this book, we have many devotees who had read this book and they confess. They said after reading this book, they would cry. And not only they would cry, then after reading the book, they would use all kinds of bad words to Krishna and Arjuna. Because it is written very emotionally. The writer is a great writer in Maharashtra. And he wrote it in such a way that it brings out the, it appears that Karna is the best. And one has to criticize the Supreme Lord and his devotees, the way it is written. And recently in Bengal, one PhD lady, she wrote her book in Bengali. And in that, she depicts Karna as a poor boy, and Arjuna a son of a landlord, and Krishna as a godfather. And how this upcoming poor boy was exploited by Krishna and Arjuna. That is the theme of the book. And became quite famous in Bengal. And in South also, to such an extent, there are books written in South Indian language where they glorify Ravan because they are close to Lanka. They glorify Ravan saying that Ravan was a very powerful personality. Actually, his intentions were right. And Lord Ram, you know, he just, without any reason, they have these books and people read them and people write articles about them, glorifying this personality. Therefore, even though these books are available, they only glorify these bad characters, even though that was not the purpose of Srila Vyasadeva. Therefore, Shripad Madhvacharya has written commentaries called as Mahabharata Tatparya Nirnaya. And has taken few stories which are most controversial. And he begins with the story of Lord Ramachandra killing a Shudra. In Ramayana, we discussed this in the Suhas Street. There is a story when Lord Ramachandra was ruling. After he came back from the forest, he became the king. And every day people would come to him, give reports. And one Brahmana came to Lord Ram and he said, just see, you know, unfortunately in your kingdom, the son has died before the father. How is it possible like this? In the natural course of action, the son has to survive. And father has to see, son is growing. But here, son is dead in the presence of your father. There is something wrong in your kingdom. So something unnatural takes place. That means it is the blame of the king. And the Lord Ram said, what is the reason why this happened? And then the Lord was told, because there is a Shudra, he is reading Shastras and is performing tapasya. And because he is reading Shastra and is performing tapasya, and therefore this situation has arisen. And Ram, in Valmiki Ramayana it is explained. Lord Ramachandra goes to that place and he shoots that Shudra who was studying Shastra and he kills him. And this story again made as a big hue and cry by some class of people. Just see how in the Varnashram Dharma, in the literatures of the Hindus, there is such a discrimination. The Shastras were sole proprietorship of the Brahmanas. And if somebody tried to read the scriptures, they were slaughtered by Lord Ram himself, who is supposed to be equal to everyone. So the Madhvacharya deals with these stories. And then again, as I mentioned, Ekalavya, there are tutorials and they are named as Eklavya Self Study Group. Because he was not given facility by the teachers to study, or there are Karana scholarship. If you want scholarship and you are coming from a poor family, then in the name of Karana you are given scholarship. Why? Because he was a self-made man. Nobody supported him. So therefore, you know, Shripad Bandhuacharya deals with story. And today I will just deal with the story of Karana, because that is very important story. In fact, I was talking to some devotees, some young devotees, and he almost started arguing with me. He said, Karana is the greatest character in the Mahabharata. He's a devotee. He's a Gaudiya Vaishnav. He said, he's the best character. He was the hero of the Mahabharata. But when we read Mahabharata carefully and read the purports of the Acharyas, it is explained, he is always depicted that Karana was so great, he came with the natural armor and he had earrings. Therefore his birth was very divine. And then even though he was very glorious, but because he was not born in the Kshatriya family, he was not given the facilities to study. And ultimately he had to go to Parashuram and lie, saying that he was a Brahman, because Parashuram would not teach any Kshatriyas. He would not teach any knowledge to Kshatriyas. So Karana went as a Brahmana and he learned everything for Parashuram. You know that story. Because Drona would not teach him, because he was not born in a Kshatriya family. And you will find that sometimes the Pandavas also, while fighting with him, or when he came to win over Draupadi, Bhima and Arjuna, and even Draupadi said that, since he's not a Kshatriya, I don't want to marry him. And even that match also, when they had to exhibit their power, their Bhima, he said, oh, you are son of Suta, you are a son of a charioteer, so better you hold, you know, the, what do you call it, whip in your hand, rather than holding bow and arrow. So you will find that even the Pandavas sometime would criticize Karana. So therefore, when Karana had no choice, he made friendship with Duryodhan. Because Duryodhan supported him, sponsored him, he made him a king. And then, when Arjuna was fighting with Karana, the story depicts that even though Karana was fighting and he lost his wheel got stuck in the mud and he came down. And while he was removing his wheel, Arjuna slaughtered him. This story is, you know, known to all over. But then, the background is there, because every scripture, they are connected to other scriptures. If you only see from Mahabharata's point of view, then we don't understand the complete picture. When Duryodhan came to tease the Pandavas in Dvaitavan, because the Pandavas were living in the forest, and he wanted to show his prosperity. Therefore, he came along with many of his companions and he was exhibiting his prosperity to the Pandavas. And Indra sent one of his friends. He said, go and fight the Kauravas. And the Kauravas were captured. And even Karana ran away. And Duryodhan was bound with robes and he was brought in the presence of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Being defeated by the Gandharvas was not painful to Duryodhan. But bringing in the presence of Yudhishthira Maharaj was very painful. And not only that, Yudhishthira Maharaj released him. He said, I forgive you. You go. Don't act like this foolishly. And he could not stand it. It was very painful. He told Dushyasana and Karana, he said, I'm not going back. I have been released by my enemy. It is too much for me to go back. I will stay here, sit here, and fast till I die. And he sat for meditation. And nobody could convince him. Dushyasana, Karana, all his good advisor, could not convince Duryodhan to go back to Hastinapur. He said, I am sitting here and I will fast till death. And then suddenly you read in the Mahabharata some living entities from the other planets, the lower planets, the demons, Rakshasas, they come. And they take Duryodhan down to Patala Loka And they tell, this is not, you are giving up your occupational duty. They taught him some Bhagavad Gita, that you should continue your occupational duty. He said, you are born to defend and offend the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And therefore, if you don't fight, and if you don't conquer over them, then it is not fair on your part. And there they mention that Karna, he said, he is your most important companion. And is empowered by a demon called Narakasura. Narakasura's soul entered into Karna's body. And he explains, the demons explain that Karna, just like devotees are supposed to be conscious of Krishna all the time, Mahabharata explains, he is 24 hours conscious of killing Krishna and Arjun. So when you have Karna with you, why you have to worry? Go back and fight them. So these demons convinced Duryodhan to go back to Hastinapur and continue to act the way he was acting before. Duryodhan stops fasting, he goes back to Hastinapur and continues to offend the Pandavas. And then it is explained, this armor of Karna, what was it? What was the background of that armor? Padma Puran mentions this story. And also, if you go to Badrinath, every holy place, especially this most important holy place, they have their Purana. They have their history, which is a bona fide, authentic history. It is called as Thal Puran. In the Thal Puran of Badrinath, this story is also mentioned. It says there was a demon called Durdam. And he was a very powerful demon, and he worshipped Lord Brahma with the intention of becoming immortal. This is the mentality of the demons, that they want to stay in this material body eternally. They want eternality in a temporary place. So Durdama performed his austerities to please Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma appeared to him and he said, my dear Lord, give me immortality. Lord Brahma said, just like what he told to Hiranyakashipu, he said, even I am not immortal, how can I make immortal? Ask for some other benediction. Then this Durdama said, okay, then you give me 1000 armor, kavachas. And only when all these 1000 kavachas destroyed, then I should die. Brahma said, okay. And this demon said, there is one more condition. The condition is that only if someone performs tapasya for 100 years, he should be able to destroy one of the armor. That means he had 1000 armors. To destroy one armor, you have to perform tapasya for 100 years. And Brahmaji said, Tatastu, no problem, you can have your benediction. And Durdama received his benediction immediately. He had 1000 armors. He became very powerful. And just to make himself more powerful and protect himself, he would send his army all over the holy places, in the mountains, in the forest, to see that if anyone is performing tapasya or yajna, you kill them. So his army would travel everywhere. Wherever the sages would perform tapasya, austerities, or performing sacrifice, either they would stop, and if they would not stop, they would kill the sages. In this way, all the austerities and the sacrifices were stopped. The demigods were not getting their shares. And therefore, all the sages approached Lord Brahma, saying that, because of your benediction, we see that this demon is creating havoc. And ultimately, Lord Brahma, along with the demigods, approached Nar Narayan Rishis, who are eternally existing. They were told about this problem. And Nar Narayan Rishis, they came to Himalayan mountains, especially that part of the Himalayan mountains where Badrinath is there. And they started performing tapasya. And this Thal Puran explains that when you perform tapasya in the Himalayan mountains, then one day tapasya is equivalent to 100 years of tapasya. Lord Krishna always has his tricks to play with the demons. So when they started performing tapasya, Nar and Narayan Rishis. Immediately this news reached Durdama Rakshas, who had assumed another name because he had this 1000 kavach. He was named as Sahasra Kavach, one who has got 1000 kavaches. And therefore, when he heard that these two sages are performing tapasya, he sent his army to fight them. But simply by opening up their eyes, these Naranarayan Rishis, they stopped these demons. And therefore, Sahasra Kavach personally came to fight Naranarayan Rishi. And very interesting. Because the benediction was another benediction he had asked. I forgot to mention that. That anybody who breaks one of his kavach, even after performing tapasya for 100 years, as the kavach breaks, they also die. So, in one sense, he had acquired immortality. So, Naranarayan Rishi is performing tapasya. So, when this Durdama Rakshas, who was Sahasra Kavach, came to fight, it is explained, Nar would perform tapasya and Narayan would fight him for one full day. And then at the end of the day, Narayan would release an arrow and smash one of his kavach. And just to respect the benediction of Lord Brahma, the Lord would appear as if he has given up his body. And the next morning, Nar would, by his power, by the mercy of the Lord himself, you know, he would make as if the Lord has been revived by Nar. And then Nar would fight with Sahasra Kavach. And in this way, Narayan would perform tapasya for that day so that he can get the benefit of performing tapasya for 100 years. And meanwhile, Nar, at the end of the day, he would smash another kavach. In this way, it is explained that Nar and Narayan, they destroyed the 999 kavach of this demon Durdam. Then Durdam realized that I have no other facility. Then he started running. And then he called for Lord Surya. He said, please give me shelter. And Lord Surya came and he called him, okay, come with me. And Nar and Narayan were chasing him. But then Surya pleaded, he said, please, because my dear Lord, you are coming as Krishna and Arjuna in Dwapar Yuga. And therefore, let him stay till then. When you appear as Krishna and Arjuna in Dwapar Yuga, then I will send this demon as Karna. That is the background of Karna's life. That he was a demon and that kavach which was there with him, that was one kavach which he maintained because of the mercy of Surya, and the Lord wanted him to come back in his next life. So therefore, that kavach is not divine, rather it was the sign, the background of he being a demon. And this is there in the Puranas. So when he came, it was so arranged that Mother Kunti could not keep him. He was asked to go. She put that child in the water and she let it go. And it is not that because he was demon, therefore Nar and Narayan or Krishna and Arjuna, they wanted to kill him. The nature of the Supreme Personality of God, it is to always give shelter. Like we heard from Gaurang Prabhu in the Ramayana story. Even up to the last moment, Lord Ram told Sugriv, even now Ravan comes at this point of time, I will give him shelter. What to speak of Vibhishan? Even though he had performed so many sinful activity, Lord Ram was willing to protect and give shelter to Ravan. But he would not agree. Similarly, in the Mahabharata we read, Lord Krishna went as a messenger to Hastinapur. And the peace message failed. And before Krishna went back to Upalavya, where the Pandavas were living, he goes and meets Karna. And he gives him the choice. He said, look Karna, he said, you are the eldest brothers of the Pandavas. And if I tell this to the Pandavas, if I tell Yudhishthira Maharaj, you are the eldest son, you know what will happen? And Karna said, yes, I know. He said, I know. He said, if Yudhishthira Maharaj comes to know that I am his eldest brother, he will coronate me. He will make me the king. I know the dharma of Yudhishthira Maharaj. He will coronate me as the king. And he will stand by the side by fanning me. But he told Lord Krishna, said, but don't tell Yudhishthira Maharaj that I am his elder brother. Because if you tell him, and if he offers me the kingdom, I will give it back to Duryodhan. Karna explained this to the Lord. He said, I cannot give up my friendship to Duryodhan. Just to maintain the mundane morality, Karna was not willing to compromise or to accept the higher principles. And he also explained, I know that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada explains in one of the purports, most people don't accept Krishna as the Lord. And even those who accept Krishna as the Lord, they don't act according to the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, knowing God or seeing God is not sufficient. Acting upon the instructions of the Supreme Lord is most important. So Karna explains, my dear Lord, I know you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I know your character. And I am seeing all ill omen. I see the elephant, they eat very less and they pass more stool. According to the psychology of omen, it is explained that when you see this, that is a sign of death. Or when you cannot smell, Prabhupada in 1977, he said, I am not able to smell anything. And he quoted, when you cannot smell something, that means you are facing death. So Karna explained that I see all ill omen, which shows that the Kaurava's destruction is inevitable. But what can I do? I cannot give up the friendship of Duryodhan. I will fight. The Lord gave him the choice. But he did not accept the choice. Krishna said then, you have to face the consequences. And then when the battle was there between Arjuna and Karna, suddenly his chariot wheel got stuck. And Karna starts speaking about dharma. He says, Arjuna, this is not fair on your part to fight with me. Wait for some time. Let me pull out my wheel and then I can come back and fight with you. And Arjuna stopped because he was a Kshatriya, rightful Kshatriya. He stopped from fighting. But Krishna said, Arjuna, no. And then Lord explains, there are about 20 to 30 verses. Lord explains to Karna, he said, now you are talking about dharma. And Lord explained that most of the time people, they only remember dharma when they are in adverse condition. They curse the destiny when everything goes against them. But everything going favorably to them, then they don't remember God. He said, now unfortunately you are following the general mass of people. Now you are talking about dharma. And the Lord explains, but all the incident which took place with the Pandavas. He says, when the Pandavas were burned, they tried to burn in the Varanavat, there was your dharma, your party to that advice. When the gambling match was going on, you are experiencing bliss, there was dharma then. It is said in Draupadi, you told, he said, because the Pandavas become poor now, poverty stricken, because you accepted five husband, you are a prostitute. Why not accept Duryodhan? Karna made that statement. There was dharma then. And Krishna is, he said, when Abhimanyu was fighting alone, 16-year-old boy, why was Arjuna angry with Yudhishthira Maharaj? Because the Shastra says, a 16-year-old boy cannot fight on the battlefield. He has to be beyond 16 years old. So Abhimanyu was sent as an emergency. He was just 16 years old. He said, not only was 16 years old, he was fighting against you, but six of you. And who gave the advice? Dronacharya gave the advice that you cannot fight him alone. And Karna was the one who went behind Abhimanyu and cut the string of his bow. The Lord said, where was your dharma then? And he told Arjuna, Arjuna, shoot him. He said, don't wait. And Arjuna took his Anjulika weapon on the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and cut off his head. Now the other readings of the Mahabharata, they say when this act was done by Arjuna, all the higher people from the higher planets, they started glorifying Karna and condemning Arjun. And there were showers of flowers on Karna. But Mahabharata doesn't mention this. So therefore, because he made the wrong choice of not surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though Madhvacharya explains that because he was killed by Arjun and he was fighting a Dharma Yuddha, seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he attained mukti. He went back to the spiritual world. But still, we see, just like, you know, some of Srila Prabhupada's god brother, like one god brother, when he left his body, devotees came to inform Srila Prabhupada, as if it was a happy news. Because this god brother of Srila Prabhupada was always kind of not appreciating Prabhupada's endeavor to spread Krishna consciousness. There was always some kind of tension. So when he left his body, devotees came to give this news. And Prabhupada said, my spiritual master was not a small person. He said, my god brother has gone back to the spiritual world. So even though he has gone back to the spiritual world, still for the followers of Srila Prabhupada, it will be difficult to appreciate him. Similarly, even though Karna has gone back to Vaikuntha planet, but because he made that wrong choice, he has made hundreds and thousands of people, especially in India, they continue to condemn Lord Krishna and Arjun. Only if they hear from the proper bona fide Vaishnavas the background, then they can understand actually it is not Krishna and Arjuna who are at fault. In fact, they came to establish Dharma, and he was one demon who was causing so much a problem. Therefore, Nar Narayan, they came as Arjuna and Krishna, and they destroyed so many demons. That is the background of the story of Karna, as mentioned in the Mahabharata and other Puranas. I'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments?